Today we do the second part of the message from Joshua, where we covered 13 through 19. But today we drill in and focus on one main issue. The big idea is basically the same. It's that we serve a God who is faithful to an unfaithful people. God is faithful. We can trust him. We can trust in our God. He's not gonna fail us. But unfortunately, what we see through the Bible and what we see in our own lives is that we fail him over and over and over again, because that's who we are. But yet God remains faithful because he cannot deny his character. So why does this matter in the book of Joshua? Because in Joshua chapter 13, he tells us in verse 6, God says, I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. So God's gonna take care of driving people out. And yet look at what we see in Joshua 13, 13. We see a failure to conquer the enemy. We see it says, yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites or Geshur and Maacoth dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. On the eastern side, they were willing to cross the Jordan and to fight for others, but they hadn't taken care of their homeland. And I think in my own mind, how frequently is it that I'm willing to get the splinter out of somebody else's eye, but I haven't taken care of the log that's in my own eye? How often is it that I tolerate sinfulness in my own life, and yet I like to point it out in others? In Joshua 15:63, it says this, but the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Judah could not drive out. So the Jebusites dwell with the people of Judah to this day. They failed to conquer the enemy. Why could they not drive them out? God had said, I will drive them out before you. The only logical reason as to why they could not drive them out is they were not using the power of God to do it. Oh, so I think about my own life. And how frequently is it that I seek to conquer sin in my own power without relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word and the power of the community of the believers to push together to make war against our sin? Joshua 16:10 tells us this. However, they did not, didn't say could not, it said did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites have lived in the midst of Ephraim to this day, but have been made to do forced labor. So time out, think about this. If I can force you to do labor, am I not strong enough to drive you out? So why would I then force you to do labor? Maybe it's because I don't like to chop wood, or I don't like to keep the sheep. And so perhaps then what I'm seeing in my own life here is that I like to make peace with my enemy because it brings pleasure and comfort and ease. Is that where we are with our sinfulness? Let me contain it, but let me not destroy it because it brings me pleasure or comfort or ease. And so I make peace with my enemy. I don't want a long, drawn-out war. I don't want to do what it takes because it's hard. Have you made peace with your sin? Are you seeking ease and comfort and pleasure rather than war? Joshua 17:12-13. Yet the people of Manasseh could not take possession of those cities, but the Canaanites persisted in dwelling in that land. Now when the people of Israel grew strong, when they had matured and grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. So perhaps here they weren't relying on the Lord to start, but eventually they grew strong enough where they could have accomplished what the Lord said do. And instead they sought comfort and pleasure and made peace and not war. And perhaps you don't like the war imagery as I'm applying it to even my own personal life and to you and our war against sin. But friends, that's what it is. It is a war against good and evil. It is a cosmic battle where the devil is seeking to kill and to devour and to destroy everything that is created in the image of God. We are not just walking through some playland. We are at war in our own souls for the future of mankind. This is a battle. Joshua 17:17-18. Joshua says to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, you're a numerous people and you have great power. You shall not just have one allotment, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it's far, you can clear it and possess it to its farthest border. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong. He challenged them. He said, you can do this because the Lord is on your side. It doesn't matter if they have chariots of iron. And I want to say to all of us today, the text tells us we can do this. We are no longer slaves to our sin, but by the power of the Spirit, Romans tells us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We do not make peace. We make war by the power of the Spirit because we know there is a greater good out there. There is true joy and contentment and happiness, and it's not found in our sin. It's found in Jesus Christ. So are we making peace and not war? Oh, let's contain it. Let's put a lid on it. Let's put a fence around it. Let's prune it. Let's cut it back. Let's manage it till it's out of control and then get it back under control. But that's not what the text tells us to do. It says to kill it. You don't manage a cancer. You cut it out. Are we trying to do it in our own power? Are we choosing comfort and pleasure rather than doing hard work? Friends, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. For us to say, I can't do it, is not acceptable. If we can't do it, it's because we're doing it in our own strength and we're not doing it in the power of the Spirit and we're not leaning into the Word. We're not surrounding ourselves with community. We're doing the same thing we read in the Old Testament. They did not, they could not, they made peace. So where are we? What sins do we tolerate in our own lives? Is it lying? Is it gossip? Is it exaggeration? Is it lust? Is it pornography? Is it gluttony? Is it failure in spiritual disciplines? Is it finances? Is it laziness? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it bitterness? Is it double-mindedness? Is it coveting? Is it anger? Our hearts are prone to wonder. We know it. But today, what I call you to do is to repent and to say, I'm going to put a stake in the ground. And I'm going to decide today that I'm going to actually make war against my sin. So if you need to repent, if you need to come to the altar, if you need to come to these steps, if you need to kneel before God, I invite you to do this as we sing this next song. It is time to not make peace with our sin, but to make war with our sin. You come as we sing.
Mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
We need your blood.
can stay where you are. You can return to your seats. It's entirely up to you. This is not long. They failed to conquer the enemy. There are consequences. We see those consequences. We see what happens. We see in the book of Judges. Judges 1, 27 through 36. Look at what it says over and over and over again. I've got it for you on the screens. Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants. Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants. So then the Amorites persisted in dwelling. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He said, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I would never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. That's us. That's all of us. And look what it says. What is this you have done? Oh, my sin's no big deal. It doesn't matter. I still love Jesus. It's okay. What is this you have done? So now he says to the Israelites, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Friends, we cannot make peace with our sin. It is too big of a deal. And God will not tolerate compromise. In Judges 2:10, it says, there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And this is the scary part. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. So the people of Israel, they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who are around them. They bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. And they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Asheroth. So look at what the Lord says. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them. Not with them, against them. As the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Friends, what we see here is that we cannot tolerate idols or temptation or sinful habits. It places us in opposition to God. Judgment and discipline will come. We must fight. We must have a plan. We must never give up or surrender. We must not make peace. We must stay the course. This is too important to quit. We must lock arms in a slow uphill climb. And when we fail, we get back up and we keep going and pursuing Jesus. We have the Spirit within us. We have the Word before us. We have community around us, local churches who will walk with you. We must be wise to avoid the tempting moments. We must be wise to set up good boundaries. We must avoid sin while we can, knowing that we are not just seeking behavior modification, but we are seeking to love God more and to love God more than we love our sinfulness. Friends, we live our lives for an audience of one. And whether in a group or all alone, we do what is right because we love our Savior. And He is the greatest gift. So now, you may need to recommit yourself to the fight. You may need to take a step of faith and ask God to help you as you make war, recognizing, friends, we're fighting a battle. He's already won. Victory is coming. It is sure. Do not give up and do not tolerate. Fight the battle that He has already won.
You can stand, you can sit, you do what you need to do. Let's cling to Jesus together. There's peace that outlasts darkness, and hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, as Jesus Christ has won.
Yes, he has.
I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands, and all I need he will provide, just like you always have. Fighting a battle you've already won.
Thank you.
You can have a seat for a second. The Israelites failed to conquer the enemy. There were consequences. So how do we respond to what we see in the text? Well, Romans tells us very clearly that the Old Testament is written for our benefit. It's written for our encouragement. It's written for our hope. And so when we read about things like this in the Old Testament, we read about how they failed, and when we read in Judges about how the consequences arose, we don't sit here and do nothing. We decide to make war. I was talking to a student this week, and he brought this to my attention. Decide, the very word itself, you trace it back to its roots. De or de means off. Side, coming from the Latin, means to cut down or to kill. You see this in words we use all the time. Infanticide, insecticide, pesticide, genocide, homicide, germicide. We decide to make war. We don't make peace with our sin. We kill it. We eliminate it. If you want a nice yard, you don't make peace with the weeds. You don't make peace with the dandelions because you know all they're going to do is multiply. Next year, they're everywhere. And yet in our own lives, we allow the sin to sit inside of our lives and we say, I'm okay. I can manage it. I can handle it. I can keep it managed and conquer it and take care of it. Instead of just saying, no, it's gone. I am going to eliminate it. So today we don't have time to walk through all the steps. So I have resources that I would direct you to. If you need to make war against your sin, I would encourage you to listen to John Piper's sermon, Make War, The Pastor and His People in the Battle Against Sin. I would encourage you to get the book. It's not that long. It's not that hard. John Owen, The Mortification of Sin. If you're not going to read a book, you can go online and Google a summary of John Owen's Mortification of Sin. Keep these things in your mind because there will be a moment where you finally get sick of making peace with your sin, and you say, I gotta get rid of this. It's destroying me. It's killing my joy. It's destroying my happiness. It's ruining my life. And when you get to that point, you need to know, where do I go? The Spirit in prayer, the Word, but these resources will be helpful to you as well. So what is your plan? Oh, I'm gonna manage my sin. I've got this covered. It's not a big deal. Friend, you are headed towards a destination called destruction. Have a plan. Strategically identify when you're prone to sin and temptation. Guardrails to make giving into temptation harder. Recognize the battle is a heart condition, not just behavior modification. So then do you have a plan to love God more? How are you going to know about him? How are you going to learn to walk with him? Are you going to cry out in your heart to him? He already knows. Lord, I'm sinful. Lord, I'm pathetic. Lord, I have problems. He already knows. Cry out to him and ask for him to help you. Are you doing this in your own power? And then you get to where the Israelites were, I cannot do this? Cry out for the Spirit. Cry out to others. Lock arms and say, let's go. If you show up with no plan, you will be defeated. And you must be determined to stay the course because you will mess up. Insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Is that where you are? Friends, we need to remind ourselves that we have a God that is faithful, even to unfaithful people like me. And he won't fail. He never has. We have a God that is good, and that God is continually chasing after us. The question is, how will we respond? I want you to know that you are loved. And wherever you are, wherever you need to be, in your seat, on your knees, on your face, standing up, down here, talking to somebody else, my challenge to you today is that as we sing two more songs and then we end, that you will decide to make war against your sin, that you will decide not to repeat the mistakes of the Israelites, but to drive out the enemy, that you will decide that through hard times, successes and failures, hills and valleys, you won't give up and you won't give in, but by the power of the Spirit, you will keep going. Today, we decide that we will build on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. We will make war with our sin, both internally and externally, all the days of our lives, until we stand before the one who has ultimately conquered sin, death, and the grave. forever.
My firm foundation, He's the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. Faithful through generations, so why would He fail now? He won't.
I'm not held by my
let's sing of his goodness, his faithfulness, his grace to us.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God
all my life.
All my life, you have been faithful.
Help our lives to sing of your goodness. Help the choices that we make to sing of your goodness. We either sing of ourselves or we sing of you. Help us in every situation, Lord, to choose to walk in the way of the righteous. Lord, help us not to forget. We forget so easily. Help us not to forget these moments where your Holy Spirit convicts us and prompts us. Lord, help us to lay down our sin and make war against it. Help us not to just go from this place and forget, but Lord, give us courage to press into each other, to ask good questions, to bring truth to bear against the lives of our brothers and sisters, because it is that important. It matters that much, Lord. We want to be righteous. Help us to fight for righteousness in every situation. We want to be the people of God who follow after you with everything. Help us. By the power of your Spirit, help us, help us. We love you, Lord. You've been so good to us, and we praise you and thank you. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a great day.